The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Monday, September 12th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our show. We are back from Portland Hempstock 2011, a little bit tanner and legs a lot more sore. We'll tell you more about that as we get onto the show. Normally at this time, I'd be taking a moment to introduce the pirate, Ganja John. Unfortunately, Ganja John couldn't be with us today. Yeah, it's sad. I think he's come down with a terrible affliction.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, somebody's got a case of the Mondays, I'm afraid. But we're going to go over to the Pirate's Cove anyway and visit right there with Cannabis Cure UK, who's in the studio. How you doing, Cure?
What's up, Russ?
Hey, you got your channel on there? There
no,
you go.
No, you just told me to do that, and I completely blanked out. How's it going?
I understand how it goes. And let us all wish Cannabis Cure UK a very happy birthday.
I made it. I'm alive. Thank you very much.
So you've made it to 24 years old.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything?
Yep. Pot saves lives.
There we go. Pot saves lives. Also joining us right here in the studio, we're so lucky to have her here again, the beautiful Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing good. Oh, I need my channel on,
oh,
too.
Oh, I got to turn your channel
on. I need my channel on, too. My camera's a little off, but...
We'll get that.
But I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be here again, and what a great weekend.
Yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. Let's talk about the news. We've got hemp headlines coming here right after the break. What do we got for headlines today, Carrie?
I have a tragic story we're covering out of Chicago. Also, a follow-up on a story we had out of Michigan from this summer. A public meeting that I need you to all be aware of. And, of course, first up, we're going to talk about this weekend. We're going to talk about Hempstock, Russ.
Oh, yeah, we got a Hempstock. And also, we recorded a live Hempstock thing. We couldn't get any coverage out there as far as the wireless coverage out there. Nothing. It's, you know, out kind of way outside of town in the industrial area. So what we did do is record a little segment at the end of Saturday with me and Carrie. So we'll play that at the end of the show. At half past, we've got – I'm sorry. I'm going to play that at half past. And then at the end of the show, we're going to speak with Jonah Raskin. He's a former High Times writer who's also the author of a new book, Marijuana Land, Dispatches from an American War. It's going to be a really good talk with Jonah. And then for our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes, unfortunately, Cannabob is on hiatus. He's out there trying to make it in the square world again, so he's going to take a hiatus from the show. So we'll be bringing you the Roots Monday Tunes. And I got a great little reefer jazz one here for you, kind of. The wonderful Ella Fitzgerald. We all know who Ella Fitzgerald is. A song called When I Get Low, I Get High. All that in an hour or two. We'll talk a little bit more about the Portland Hempstock, give you some of our impressions of what happened there this weekend. And just stick around. It's Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation, and we'll be bringing you all these live events all year long. We'll also have them up on our special events feed at stash.normal.org. So make sure you check that out. Follow us on Twitter. I'm Radical Russ. She's Cannabis Carrie, K-A-R-R-I. And we'll be right back.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Weedmaps.com.
I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred
smoke. In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Marijuana and alcohol.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
This weekend, the 7th annual Portland Hemp Stock was held in Northwest Portland out in an industrial park and at the confluence of the Willamette and the Columbia Rivers. Although the venue is challenging to get into the park, once there, cannabis consumers and supporters were allowed to enjoy their medicine, their recreational substance, and their edibles out in the open without fear of retribution. There was one main stage that hosted musical acts, a hemp fashion show, and speakers. Although the cell phone coverage was weak and the internet coverage was non-existent in the park, Normal Show Live was housed in the Hemposium, where we provided music and sound along with recording the panel of experts that talked about everything cannabis. There were legal panels, a panel on cooking with cannabis, a panel on women in the movement, a panel on cannabis in the media, and a panel on Normal, among others. The heat was a factor on both days, with Portland temperatures reaching well into the 90s, something that is fairly unusual for the area this time of year. The vendors at the Hemp Festival are getting more and more varied. The usual glass and the latest cannabis smoking incarnation, along with clothing, food, and growing supplies were there, but I'm noticing more and more non-cannabis related booths at these events. There were booths that sold toys, a booth that sold spray tans, and a few booths that were selling soaps and personal items. The initiatives for both Washington and Oregon were represented by booths that were gathering signatures, and groups like the Green Party were also on hand to talk to festival growers. It's only a few years ago that Jack Hare gave his last public speech ever on the main stage at Hempstock, and that stage is now renamed the Jack Hare Memorial Stage in his memory. Overall, the festival was another rousing success, aside from the actual challenges of the venue, and we hope to return again next year.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun out there. there at the Portland Hemp Stock, and we do have to make that point. It's not Hemp Stock so much as it is Hemp Walk. The Kelly Point Park, once you get to the park, I mean, it's a long walk to get to where the venue is, and then just getting to the beginning of the park is a longer set of industrial roads that we were using for parking, which is better than last year, where there's at least, you know, plenty of places to park, but you were walking in one long road. It wasn't like a parking lot. It was like one long strip. So some people are having to take 2-3 mile walking trips just to get in here, and, you know, just not enough shuttle buses to handle that load of people. So more needs to be done to fix that situation, so that especially a lot of these people with mobility issues that are just trying to get out to the one place where they can be open and social, and when it's so difficult for them to get out there, that is problematic. The heat was really surprising. I mean, I was just thinking this year that I made it all the way to September without having to put the air conditioners up in the bedroom window, and here we get this weekend where we top out at, what, 94, 95? It was pretty warm out there, and worse when you were in the direct sunlight, but a lot of people had fun, saw a lot of good friends there. Our friend Subcool was there. Melissa Ballin from the Jack Herer documentary was there. She gave an inspiring speech from the stage, a wonderful poem that she had written and did, you know, just live there. It was just fantastic. We've got recordings of all this stuff, and I want to let you folks know, I'll be out of town on Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to play 2 hours straight of all the panels and the speeches and the music that we got recorded at Hempstock 2011. So I hope you'll enjoy that while I'm gone. And, of course, we'll be back on Friday for another show.
Now, we brought you this story this summer of a Michigan medical marijuana dispensary owner whose clinic was offering free medical marijuana to patients who registered to vote. Shakina Pena, the owner of Your Healthy Choice Clinic in Lansing, Michigan, was in hot water after her clinic's offer of a half a gram of medical marijuana in exchange for registering to vote. Now, this offer came just ahead of a vote of city council seats, and the city council in Lansing, Michigan, had approved of capping the number of medical marijuana dispensaries within city limits and also setting up a $1,000 annual application fee. At the time, Pena told an NBC affiliate that she was just trying to fight to get the voters to the polls, since Lansing has about 4,000 to 5,000 people in the area that are patients or caregivers. She said it was her hope that those 4,000 to 5,000 would show up at the polls and vote for whomever they feel is in support of what they want for access. She said she was definitely not trying to encourage her patients to support the city council members who are supporting the medical marijuana industry. Then at the end of July, the state attorney general, at the prodding of a state senator, said that they were looking into whether the clinic had crossed a legal line. City clerk Chris Swoop says that the legal line had been crossed if the clinic had tied the offer to voting for or against a particular person. Pena insisted that that wasn't the case, but the Lansing city clerk still had some concerns, such as the tagline about the free weed offer on their website that says, "A vote for us and we'll vote for you." Since then, Pena has heard nothing back from the city clerk or the state attorney general, but that all changed today. Charges were filed against Pena this morning. She's being charged with a misdemeanor count of trying to influence voters with a valuable consideration. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette's office says that the newly registered voters were encouraged to support certain Lansing City Council candidates. She is also facing up to 90 days in jail and a $500 fine and is expected to appear in court later this month. Shakina Pena says that the offer in no way was intended to lure patients or to buy their votes.
Yeah, but see, you can't do that. And this is, you know, I've brought this up before. There was, you know, cases of dispensaries that were, you know, offering a joint to go to a city council meeting or an eighth to vote for this or that. You can't do that. And what surprises me, I guess it doesn't surprise me, but what they're not realizing is that, you know, if this is good for the goose, it's good for the gander, right? And they got a lot more stuff to spread around. I mean, we might have a half gram to give to them to register. Well, what's going to stop our opponents from giving them $50 to register and vote a certain way? Right? This is why we don't allow consideration for the buying of votes or for the registering of voters, is because then it's democracy by the highest bidder. And that's not what any of us want here. I know everyone has good intentions about this. You know, let's get the patients active. Let's get marijuana consumers active in politics and do something to bring them out. But what you need to do to bring them out is to give them information, to give them education, to empower them to understand what their vote means and that their votes have power. Not to bribe them, not to try to buy them into the political consideration, because then you're just going to have fair weather voters. You're going to have people that, oh, they're not offering a gram this time? Oh, I guess I won't vote, right? We want to have people involved in this process who are serious about it, who really know that we can change these laws and that the power really is in our hands. We don't need to buy that.
This is a sad story from Chicago. A Chicago woman crashed her car into a neighbor's house on Saturday, killing the man who lived there. 28-year-old Zachary Eisenberg was at home and had just walked over to his window just as the 63-year-old woman hit the home, killing him immediately. Now, there was a second resident in the home at the time who managed to jump off of the couch just as the car came from the front of the home, traveled all the way to the back wall of the residence. But when investigators showed up, they found a marijuana grow inside of the home. The survivor, Thomas J. McCucci, is being charged with production of cannabis and unauthorized possession of a firearm. And one side note, they had to leave the car there because engineers said at this point if they removed the car, the structure would collapse.
Oh, geez, so the car is stuck in there. On a story like this, what this reminds us of is that no matter what you do to try to stay in the closet, no matter what you do to protect your grow and, you know, reduce the smell and no light signature and I don't tell anybody and I hide my tracks and I take the battery out of my cell phone. I do everything possible to stay off the radar. Dumb luck sometimes can get you on the radar. Sometimes someone may just crash into your home. I mean, every week I see a story, well, maybe not every week, at least once a month, I see a story about some sort of house fire where the firefighters burst in and, oh my God, look, there's a grow there. You know, and the guy ends up not only just losing his house, but losing his freedom as well and getting a multiple felony record. It can happen to you no matter what, you know, what precautions you might take. And this is why we always encourage people, no matter how deeply in the closet you are, is to get involved in your own liberation. Because if not you, it's going to be someone you know. It might be someone that you're involved with that then becomes the snitch that turns on you. And they got busted in by someone, you know, just a fire in their house or a car running through the window. So it is good to be careful, but it's more important to get involved and make a change to this so we don't have to worry about those accidental releases of information about what we're doing in our own homes.
And just to let you know, there is a public meeting in Vancouver, Washington this evening where city leaders will be discussing how the city can regulate access to medical marijuana. Now, Vancouver is one of the growing number of cities that has put their laws on hold concerning dispensaries until further discussion. Last year, Washington tried to pass a law that would have spelled out regulation for medical marijuana dispensaries, along with clarifying other parts of the Washington medical marijuana law. But at that time, Governor Gregoire vetoed several key points of that bill, specifically anything to do with the dispensing of medical marijuana, citing federal pressure and fear that state employees could be charged as drug traffickers. The city attorney, Ted Gaith, said that he expects that the Washington legislature will revisit this issue next year. But in the meantime, the city's hoping to hear from the public about the issue. Now, the meeting is tonight in Vancouver, Washington. It's at 7 p.m. at City Council Chambers. That's located on 415 West 6th Street. And I did want people that went, you have to show up at 7 o'clock. It is the fifth thing on the agenda, so you will have to sit through a few boring things to wait your turn. But we do encourage, if you go to that meeting, do go on time and just wait for that issue to come up. And even if you're not speaking about it, you can be there to lend your support.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks right across the river here from Vancouver, Washington, we encourage you to get involved and get out to that city council meeting. And again, remember to be polite and to be respectful. And it also helps, you know, if you dress up a little bit. I'm not saying you got to look like me in a suit and tie or anything like that, but, you know, wear something decent. Don't go in there in a holy t-shirt and, you know, ragged old shorts and, you know, flip-flops or something like that. Show a little bit of respect for the process and what's going on there. And, you know, it is going to be a little bit of a wait when it's fifth on the agenda. We understand how that goes. But, again, be respectful as you wait there. Probably best that you're going into a public building to not bring any sort of like pocket knives or, you know, little, I even have the Leatherman tool that I usually use and I leave that home whenever I'm doing these gigs, you know, when I'm going to these courthouses and stuff. You're going to be going through metal detectors. Oh, and gee, need we have to say it, don't bring your weed. Don't bring your weed to the city council meeting. I know patients and all, you know, you have the right to carry and all that, but why make it any more difficult on yourself than it has to be? Leave it at home. You're not going to get toke up there at the court, or at least leave it in the car in the trunk or something like that. It's interesting to me, too, that Vancouver's having this meeting regarding dispensaries, while right here in Portland, Oregon, we have a number of cannabis clubs that are open, and we don't get to have any sort of meetings on those. We don't get to talk about those. We don't get to talk about how they're regulated or any sort of potency checks or you know, purity checks, how they're growing their medicine, how their distributors are getting paid. It's kind of all a free-for-all right now in the state of Oregon. So I'm interested to see what comes out of the state of Washington, what, right across the river in there in Vancouver, and how that might affect what's going on here in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's not much of a drive to get across that river and go over to Vancouver. Already, we have a lot of people in Oregon that go across the river into Vancouver to the head shops to buy certain supplies, shall we say, masking agents, adulterants that you can use on drug tests, which is, of course, illegal to do in Oregon. Can't sell those things in Oregon. So people go across the river to Washington. If they start having dispensaries there, I can see a whole lot more Oregon money going across the Columbia. All right, we're going to take a break. Me and Cannabis Carrie, we got Terry and Megan Debs and Cannabis Cure here in the studio. We'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes, a little Ella Fitzgerald and Reefer Jazz.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reefer man? A Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny Reefer man? A Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that Reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
You're listening to the Normal Network, where the time is 420, 24/7, 365.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Burt's Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times' own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in? It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, well, welcome back, everybody. Like I mentioned at the top of the hour that... Cannabob is not able to be with us here on the Roots Monday. He's taking a hiatus, and we'll welcome him back as soon as he's able to get back. So we are going to bring to you today some Roots Monday tune picked out by myself. Just looked up this morning and found this excellent piece of music from Ella Fitzgerald. She was the first lady of song. Lady Ella was an American jazz and song vocalist and a legend, of course, in her own time and in our time as well. She had a 3-octave vocal range, which is, you know, pretty amazing. And a lot of people know her for her scat singing. She was one of the vocalists who popularized that section of singing. I know as a kid when I was growing up, the way I always remembered Ella Fitzgerald was from the Memorex commercials. I know people of my age will remember what I'm talking about. Is it Live or is it Memorex? And she'd hit that high note and the little glass would shatter. Well, back in the day, Ella Fitzgerald was one of those jazz performers that was playing in Harlem, a lot like Cab Calloway and the others, who spoke in code and talked a lot about reefer and jive and getting high. And this next song is going to bring you a little bit of that. It's Ella Fitzgerald with When I Get Low, I Get High on your Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes.
That ain't right. Well, he'd better watch out if I meet him tonight. I said, when I get low, oh, I get high. All this hard luck in this town has found me. Nobody knows how trouble goes round and round me. Oh, I'm all alone with no one to pet me. But old rocking chair ain't never gonna get me. Cause when I get low, oh, I get high.
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Hey, this is Subcool, coming to you live from the second annual Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, and I'm on Normal Radio.
And now, another episode.
episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre. I'm your host, Leonard Pinfgarnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pinfgarnell III.
That's what I need. When I smoke it, satisfaction guaranteed.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. This year, the Drug Czar's Office has a $60 million budget for advertising their Reefer Madness propaganda. We here at Normal don't have that kind of money, but we've got two weapons for fighting back. Your donations and the truth. Please, make a donation to Normal so we can continue to expand this podcast and our other media campaigns. Even a donation of $4.20 can help. Visit us on the web at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L. Thank you for caring and sharing.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
So we're unable to stream live, unfortunately.
Right.
There is no Cricket Wireless. There is no Clear Wireless. There is no Tether Wireless.
I do have Verizon, but it's 1G.
1G.
So
1G. So if
broadcast.
You still have that brick cell phone, you can get a signal. So we are recording this for our show. We'll have this. Well, you're listening to us now on Monday. So happy Monday, everyone. We're enjoying the 7th annual Portland Hempstock out here at the Kelly Point Park at the confluence of the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. And we're just in the shade of the Hemposium tent. The setup's kind of weird this year. The main stage is like, it's almost like we're in a separate alcove area.
It almost seems like a completely different venue from the 2 years before, because
yeah.
They have the layout's a little different. But it's gorgeous here, and it's really warm, but I didn't see anybody suffering heat stroke. There's lots of water available.
Yeah.
And the vendors have been great.
Yeah, great vendors out there. The folks from the Casher and the Grinder Card folks, they're here. We stopped over by. I stopped over by Herb Age's booth. Ben from Oregon Hempworks is here, and he says hi, Iva. Hi, Iva. Ben from Oregon Hempworks says hi.
And right across from the Hemposium, people in the Northwest, we don't get all this sunshine. It just like, comes to us like 1 weekend at a time. So right across from the Hemposium, you can get a spray-on tan for $15 and look like you lived in Hawaii all summer.
Well, isn't that helpful?
So a lot of different vendors, not all to do with hemp and marijuana, just a lot of people out here. And it's been, again, a really great event.
Yeah, we've had a couple of panels here. We had a panel that featured a look at all the initiatives. And what I really liked about it, we, of course, had three initiatives that we discussed here in Oregon. Jen Alexander was here with OCTA. Doug McVeigh was here with the Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative. And then Lee Berger with Sensible Oregon. So we got a lot of talk about the Oregon stuff. And then Don Skacki is here. He's with I-505, the Yep Wah people. Across from us here at Hemposium is the I-502 booth, the NAW booth. That's right, folks. In Washington State, they're voting on Yep and NAW. What is this, Jed Clampett running the state? What the hell?
Politics makes strange bedfellows.
So, but in addition, and I was really surprised that he was here, John Payne, I think his name was, from
Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah, with their initiative. And
the Show Me one.
That was great. All of those, that panel was phenomenal. Everybody
yes.
had such really inspiring things to say. That was probably the most interesting initiative. You know, because some of the initiatives you get bogged down in all that
yeah.
language, but all of the speakers were really dynamic and really making the case that we just, they might not be perfect, but
yeah.
we need to vote yes.
I think the line that I took
that
away from
seemed
that
the message.
One, the line I took away from that one is, it's not the details, it's the precedent.
Right, absolutely. And like we said, we always know there will probably be some legal challenge.
Yeah.
We have to expect that. But you're right, the precedent needs to be set. And all of those were dynamic speakers. I really, I good luck to all of those initiatives.
Yeah, it was something that I said during the Prop 19 days was, the headline won't be, California passes terrible law that does such and such to marijuana. The headline will be, California legalized pot.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, Washington has the same opportunity. Washington legalized pot. And then while those of us in the know might grumble about how or what happened with it.
Or that they called it pot. We'll all be mad.
Well,
whatever
right.
we're going to be mad
yeah.
about.
But regardless of that, for the rest of the mainstream world, it will be, oh my God, a state legalized marijuana.
You know, I Jennifer Alexander's been on the show a couple of
yeah,
times.
Yeah.
And she did such a, she's really an inspiring speaker. Her speech today, she was on fire.
Yeah.
And made a lot of really great points. And
you'll be hearing some of the highlights from this as well. We recorded a lot of these panels today.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be bringing you the highlights throughout this week on Normal Show Live. You can catch it every weekday. 1 o'clock Pacific at live.normal.org. Replays at 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock. We got plenty of the flyers here if anybody wants to grab a flyer to learn more about the show. Another panel that we had, the media panel, was a really great panel.
That was. It was nice to see Ngayo. Did you see how he was dressed?
Oh, Ngayo always dresses for pimp stock.
Oh, yeah, it's 95 degrees out here, and Ngayo looks gorgeous
yes.
in a I don't know what was that chartreuse purple
velvet
suit
yeah.
with a striped shirt on underneath. Always cool as a cucumber,
yeah.
Ngayo.
So yeah, what I liked about that panel, we had Melissa Ballin on the panel, and she was she's the co-director of the new Jack Harrow documentary that's
right.
going to come out, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, and you know. Worked with Jack in doing a lot of the video stuff that he did. So we had video media. And then we had the guy from the Oregon Cannabis Connection, who also does radio, the Rogue River Radio, Justin Jenkins.
We had SSDP.
We had SSDP, right? Sam Shepard from SSDP doing all the internet media, all of the social media, the networking, and all that stuff that we talk about all the time. And then, and Gaio, yeah, doing
right.
magazine publishing.
With
right? So, like, every corner of the media, we had somebody that had a thing doing on it. So, another great panel. And then the last panel we just finished up with was Why Be Normal? And I really liked this. You know, of course I did, because it was a panel
right.
about normal, right?
right.
But specifically about normal, right? Not just, you know, being involved in marijuana reform, but why
I found that interesting. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a panel about normal.
Right. And,
which was
so
great.
It featured Cliff Duvall from Normal of Waco, Inc. He's here and all the way from Waco, Texas. And he gave a really moving story about how much his health has improved through the use of medical cannabis and how much fight he's had to go through in Texas.
And he looks great.
Yeah. He looks great. It's you know, it's like that, it's like cannabis cure too. I mentioned that, you know, we see these guys that, you know, we first meet them when they, you know, like Cliff's from Texas, Cure's from the UK where they can't get decent weed. And then after they hang out in the West Coast for a while, they gain weight. They look great.
It's amazing. It's, you know, I'm more of a legalizer than a medicalizer. We've
yeah.
talked about that.
Yeah.
But it is hard. It's hard to, it's hard to see cases like this
yeah.
and not say, okay, come on, seriously? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? I mean, it really is amazing.
Right.
And also on the panel, two Pauline Sabin Award winners. We had Anna Diaz from Oregon Normal and the Normal Women's Alliance Steering Committee. And then Madeline Martinez, she has to have the double business card. You know those folding ones? She has the double business card. LEAP speaker, Oregon Normal Executive Director, National Normal Board of Directors,
World
Cannabis
Famous
Cafe.
Cafe,
Pauline Sabin Award winner.
Right.
that's like going on forever and ever. So they all gave really good talks about like why personally they wanted to get involved specifically with Normal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it had to do with the name recognition, and a lot of it had to do with just geography. You know, just you happen to be where there's a Normal mm-hmm. chapter.
Right.
You know, Cliff gave a great talk about, you know, seeking to start one. Like, he just had it. You know, he said, I've had it. I've got to do
something
to change
the laws. Something has to change in my community.
Oh, and breaking news from that as well. I guess it's not too breaking for our Texas listeners. They probably already know, but Cliff
and
is running.
And this will be Monday.
Yeah, Cliff is running for, I don't know what district is, but state representative in Texas.
I think he said 16th.
Something like that. Yeah. Texas had a lot of districts. Yeah. So I don't know, but Cliff Duvall, check him out.
I mean, that is amazing. Our own Calico is running for Congress as well.
Right.
And that's the first time we're seeing activists get involved on such a deep level. It's great to see. I mean, eventually, all politicians that run are going to have to answer that question anyway. Let's put our people up there. If you know of an activist who is running, you know what? Call him up and say, can I donate a few hours to your campaign? I don't even care if you vote for him, but let's support each other. I think that's amazing that we have some activists now running for a political office.
And it's, you know, it's no longer the scarlet letter anymore, right?
It's,
you know,
they're looking for that vote.
Yeah, when we you know, coming up in the 80s, you know, remember when Justice Ginsburg in 87 admitted he was up for the Supreme Court. He admitted that he had smoked marijuana at Harvard. They pulled his nomination. And then, you know, Bill Clinton running in 91 had to say, well, I didn't inhale, right? So he always had to hide it, right? Now,
that's, you know, like one of those embarrassing stoner moment history. Wah, wah, wah. Uh-huh. Oh, really, Bill? Is that what you said?
Well, Christopher Hitchens, who went to Oxford with Clinton, said that he didn't inhale. He really liked the brownies.
That's right.
So maybe he was...
Hey, I've seen Bill Clinton eat when he was on the campaign. He probably inhaled those brownies.
Probably inhaled those brownies. I was going to say, this is the guy that asked what the definition of the word is
right.
in a testimony. So, you know, I'm sure he can massage the word inhale to, you know, figure out what he wants to say. But, yeah, it's not the black mark that it used to be. So now, having voiced opposition to the drug war is not automatic disqualifier for running for office.
Right.
You know, having admitted to smoking pot is no longer disqualifier for office. In fact, it puts you in the majority of your constituents.
Right. And two different panels, but again, to the speakers close to our hearts. Madeline Martinez was talking about going after the League of Women Voters.
Oh, yeah, great.
What a powerful voting block that is, and the importance of starting, the Normal Women's Alliance. And also Jen Alexander saying that when she's out getting petitions for one of the initiatives, that she has a lot of people all day long to her say, you know what, I don't smoke pot, but I'll sign it.
Yeah.
And talking about reaching outside of our community. Obviously, the community's strong. Every one of these festivals are super popular. I mean, this one's really hard to get to, and yet there are gazillions of people here having a great time. I mean, we're really dedicated to these community, family-like festivals, but to really reach outside of our community, that's the next step.
Yeah, and that's my only complaint. Well, not my only complaint, but one of my complaints about this venue. It's gorgeous as it is, but we did the first one at the riverfront in downtown Portland, where they hold the Blues Festival, where they hold the fireworks, where they hold every civic thing.
And for me, that was one of the first festivals I went to, and it was like magical land.
Yeah.
Coming from Idaho, skipping through downtown Portland with that beautiful skyline, the riverfront, all the boats, and then people just enjoying cannabis in this free way out in a public park sitting on the grass blew my mind.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're not there anymore, is because the city
probably
doesn't want to promote, like, hey, look at us, we're the stoners.
And that leads to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And then Selwood Park, they had it in Selwood Park, which, again, a really great venue.
And the point, though, that I'm getting to, sorry about that, Gary, is that, you know, there at the riverfront, it's not just preaching to the choir. There's people walking by, you know, that are doing their daily jog. There's people walking to work. There's people biking, you know, just for fun that aren't part of the choir that, as they walk by, have to hear the loudspeakers with some speaker talking about marijuana.
Right.
That's what I loved about it. Here, it's guaranteed to only be heard by the choir, and I think that's why the city of Portland has
this. Interesting. Yeah, because you park in one place, and then the park is very large, and you have to walk through a forest to get here, and then it's kind of stretched out a little bit like HempFest, also in Seattle. But HempFest is stretched out just because of its sheer size.
Sure,
this is sort of stretched out because of the confines of the way the park is set up.
Right.
So,
but it's a good time out here at the Portland Hempstock. Beautiful day. It's Portland decided to have summer a month shifted later.
I know, really.
We get like the hottest days here.
And honestly, I haven't complained at all about the heat today. It's been really lovely, and now the temperature's going down, so I think we're going for, well, this will be on Monday. We're not streaming live, never mind.
That's right. Well, we got another day of stuff to record for you. We'll bring all sorts of stuff. We're going to get some interviews here when we bring
maybe we'll find a satellite truck, and this will be
maybe we'll steal a satellite truck from KGW or something. And also tomorrow, which is yesterday, if you're listening on the podcast,
it's like a time traveling show now.
Whoa, my mind is blown. No, but tomorrow my brother Josh is playing, so we'll have some recording of Josh.
right.
Playing, and I hope he's doing Get Stoned Together, but I don't know how if he can do it acoustically, so we shall see.
Yeah, and the Jerry Garcia Family Band is playing, which are a group of Portland musicians that are amazing if you like that kind of music. And you know what? It's great to see them here, too. We'll be seeing them tonight.
Well, thanks for listening to our recorded version, report from day one at Portland Hempstock 2011. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ, and take care of each other, tokers.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We're gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal, working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
The children! My God! Won't somebody think of the children?
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Legalization,
decriminalization,
lowest law enforcement priority,
medical marijuana,
ganja sacrament,
consumer cannabis,
industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare,
the economy,
global climate change,
law enforcement in prisons,
immigration,
religion,
free speech,
energy policy,
and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Show Live Cannabis Conversations.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And joining us on the telephone, we've got Jonah Raskin. He is the author of the book Marijuana Land, Dispatches from an American War. This is being published by High Times Books. And Jonah, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much, Russ. Glad to be on your show. Glad to talk about marijuana, subject that's interested me for a long time.
Yeah, it says here in your bio that you've been doing this since the early 80s. What got you involved in becoming a marijuana reporter?
Well, my father was a marijuana grower, and I learned a lot about marijuana from him. When he died before he could harvest his last crop, and I inherited his marijuana crop, so that was what got a lot of it going from him. In the family, marijuana's been in the family, and then also I lived just a short distance away from the area that's known as the Emerald Triangle, one of the primary marijuana growing regions for a long time, and so there's a ton of growers around here. And many of them have come to me with their stories and say, you know, you've got to write about this. Yeah.
So Marijuana Land then is a book about the marijuana growing in the Emerald Triangle then?
Yes, to a large extent, though it has some other places and other stories. I mean, marijuana does travel. Most of the marijuana that's cultivated in the Emerald Triangle goes to other parts of the country, and some of it is that the journeys that it takes and how it gets there and who gets it to New York and Hollywood and other places, yes.
So in looking at this industry that's been a part of, you know, America for decades now, between the growing and the trafficking and the selling of marijuana, how did you find the people involved in that industry to look at the politics of it? I mean, do they want legalization? Do they fear legalization? How is it from their angle?
Well, I would say it's definitely divided. There are people who line up on all sides. For years and years and years, growers in this part of the world said that they were in favor of legalization. But then last year in 2010, when Proposition 19 was on the ballot in the state of California, large numbers of growers came out against legalizing for recreational purposes partially because they were afraid that their own pocketbooks would be affected, that the price would drop, and also because a lot of people, after growing for 15 or 20 years, they're outlaws and they don't want to change. They like the outlaw lifestyle. So it's partially economic, and I would say it's also definitely a lifestyle attachment to being an outlaw in the woods.
And, you know, speaking of outlaw in the woods, we've got a friend here who just, you know, spent time in Northern California in the Redwoods and had seen, you know, the helicopters flying around and the campaign against marijuana planting with their annual, you know, reaping of the harvest, as you will. How has that affected the lifestyle of those growers there, this constant, you know, presence of these helicopters and the federal agents wanting to come in? And you say they're leading this outlaw lifestyle. How many of them have been taken down because of that outlaw lifestyle, and does that dissuade them any?
Well, sometimes it's struck me, it is like gambling. Sometimes it seems to me like it's kind of like playing Russian roulette, mm-hmm. and you don't know if your number is going to come up or not in any one year. If you take all of law enforcement, state, federal, local, in all of California, they only get a small percentage of the harvest, and they only arrest a very small percentage of the people who are growing. But it does affect the mindset of just about everybody, that people do think about getting arrested and having their crop seized by the cops. Yes, yeah, so it's a state of mind that growers live with. I would say that people these days are, you could say, they're less afraid or they're more brazen. There are, yes, definitely lots of people who are growing in greenhouses and in the shade, but there's also way, way more people now than during the Reagan years of Just Say No who are growing it in direct sunlight and out in the open and, mm-hmm. and who are not afraid. I mean, I have friends who've been growing marijuana since like 1980, and you know they're on in their years, and they just say, "What are they going to do to me? Throw me in jail?" Many, many, many more people not afraid of going to jail. Mm. They mean they believe in it; it's their cause. They're so connected to marijuana that they're willing to get arrested for it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jonah Raskin. He's the author of the book, Marijuana Land, Dispatches from an American War. You can pick it up at the High Times Head Shop at hightimes.com. And Jonah, are there other outlets like Amazon or other ways they can get the book?
No, it's not available on Amazon yet. I know they're working on it, but yes, it is available at the High Times, on the High Times page on, yes.
Okay.
And if people like Google Jonah Raskin and Marijuana Land, they will find the book, yes.
Okay. Now, you made reference to the brazenness now, the people taking more chances, growing out in the sunlight, and I've got to think this has a lot to do with California's Prop 215 since 1996. How much has medical marijuana changed that culture and that atmosphere there in the Northern California?
Yeah, that was definitely really... It changed everything, Prop 215, and led to dispensaries of hundreds and hundreds of dispensaries of people realizing, yes, that what humanity knew thousands of years ago or a long time ago, that marijuana is a very good medicine and can be used for all sorts of things, for back pain and glaucoma so a huge growing awareness of the benefits of marijuana. And yes, Prop 215 in California in 1996 really opened the floodgates, I would say. Mm.
So with your experience, you know, seeing this side of it, you know, there's a lot of economic interest here. You know, if you go to Ukiah or Willits or any of these towns in Northern California, you can just sense that without the marijuana industry, there'd be no towns or much less of these towns in Northern California. So how do we make a transition? Did they give you an idea, you know, these folks up here that are reliant on this economy, of what they imagine we could change as far as legalization that would keep them, you know, in business or not destroy their economies? Or do they see that maybe there's no way to change it without reducing the price?
Well, the price has come down, and in the last year, 18 months, the price has come down radically or drastically. There mm-hmm. are people who are selling pounds of marijuana here for like $1,600 or even $1,200 a pound, which is wow. way down from what it used to be. And that is not so much because of police or dispensary or 215. It's because there are way, way more people growing marijuana, more people growing more marijuana than ever before. So there is, as almost all growers have told me, from the Golden Gate Bridge to the Oregon border, there is a glut of marijuana on the market. They don't want to sit on pounds, and they're having what they call fire sales. Yes.
Well, I guess it's a buyer's market out there. It works out good yeah. for the folks that are trying to get medicine yeah. or recreational use, however it might be. And how about the life? I mean, we got the trimmers, we've got the growers, the traffickers. How about their lifestyles? Are they having to cut back? Are we seeing fewer of them? Are they taking pay cuts? How are they dealing with that drop in price?
Well, they're still growing. I mean, the harvest is starting now. I did a bookstore event in a bookstore last Thursday night. There was a couple women who came and they bought my book, and one of them said, "Would you please autograph it and write, you know, write 'Can a bitch' from Jonah Raskin?" So, and she said, "I'm going up to do some trimming. I'm going up to Humboldt County. I'm going to read this book to people as we trim." So, yes, there is, you know, there's a lot of migrant labor in California, and there's definitely marijuana migrant labor, and people, there's plenty of work for trimmers all over the place here. And, I mean, I have fond memories of being in places in Mendocino and Humboldt where hundreds of people in an area would be growing and having harvest parties, so it's definitely part of communities and the culture. One way that people are talking about moving from the underground into and black market into more legal is to take some tips from the wine industry around here and to tie it in, to connect it in places where you can go and you can see marijuana growing, you can smoke it there, you can eat really good food, you can also have some wine, so that it's to make it connected to tourism. Sonoma County, Napa County wines are certainly known far and wide, and people around here are exploring those possibilities. And with all kinds of problems with state budgets, people who have been opposed to marijuana for a long time are now feeling like they're ready to open the door and to collect taxes and to legalize it. Yes.
Well, that's good news.
That's
fantastic news. Jonah, we got to wrap up. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the hour, but I want to tell everyone again, the name of the book is Marijuana Land, Dispatches from an American War, and High Times called you like Hunter S. Thompson before him. It's high praise, and Jonah, yeah. I look forward to reading the book.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. Okay. Thanks for being with us on Normal Show Live. For Cannabis Carry and Cannabis Cure UK, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. For those of you listening live, stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, and we'll dish a little bit more on Hemstock 2011 and other stories in the news. Maybe a little football talk, too. Maybe just me. So we will be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use. We won't be here Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be playing two special two-hour shows from the Hemposium panels at Hemstock 2011. So we'll be here tomorrow, and we'll be here Friday. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.